Shabbat Shalom. If you are a fan of pyrotechnics, this week's Torah portion is right up your alley. It is the story of a rebellion. A faction of Israelites, led by Korach, conspires against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. This rebellion meets its end in a spectacular fashion when God causes the earth to break apart, open its mouth, and swallow up Korach and his household. And in case that wasn't enough of a display, an enormous, unearthly fire blazes forth and consumes those who followed Korach into rebellion. 250 men are devoured by the flames. I imagine it was quite a show. But the story doesn't end there. Not content to punish the rebels alone, God speaks to Moses and Aaron, threatening to destroy the entire community of Israel with a deadly punishment. A plague is inflicted upon the Israelites, causing the deaths of 14,700 souls. The plague is finally brought to an end through a heroic act. Vaya'amod ben hametim uvein hachayim. And Moses stood between the dead and the living. Vate'atzer hamagefa. And the plague was ended. Moses makes an offering of repentance on behalf of the Israelites, and God instructs Moses to enter the tent of meeting and deposit 12 staffs, one for each tribe of Israel. The next day, Moses enters and retrieves the staffs and makes an astonishing discovery. Aaron's staff has sprouted, blossomed, and produced almonds. This is nothing short of a miracle. And not just any miracle. In our prophetic tradition, the almond branch is a sign of redemption, a divine promise that God will safeguard and protect Israel. And yet, the Israelites respond to this not with renewed hope and faith, but with cries of despair. Hein, gavanu, avadnu, kulanu, avadnu. We will perish. We are lost. All is lost. It would not be unreasonable to file this as yet another instance of Israel's faithless and rebellious attitude toward God, and by extension, toward the leadership of Moses and Aaron. The Israelites have just been spared yet again, and God has offered a miraculous sign of redemption. And still, they refuse to believe. What is wrong with this people? How many miracles will it take? What this interpretation misses is the human element that calls out from the text. When I read the cries of the Israelites, Gavanu, we will perish, Avadnu, we are lost, I don't see what God calls a stiff-necked people. I see a people who have suffered great trauma. It is no coincidence that Gavanu and Avadnu are in the past tense. The Israelites have already perished in vast numbers. They have been through so much. It's no wonder they are unable to recognize the miracle and the promise of the almond branch. In his essay, Jewish Spiritual Care in the Wake of Disaster, Rabbi Stephen Roberts explains that in addition to physical effects, trauma also inflicts spiritual injury, affecting our emotional equilibrium, our faith systems, and our resilience. We too are experiencing trauma, physical and spiritual injury from the plague affecting our world today. And like the Israelites in this parasha, the end of our suffering remains obscured, and our sensitivity to wonder is dulled. So how can we heal our spiritual wounds and reclaim a sense of wonder? One possibility is to attune ourselves to smaller miracles. In his Torah commentary, Nachmanides elaborates this idea by distinguishing between what he calls great miracles and small or hidden miracles. Great miracles are those unique phenomena that defy the laws of nature, reason, and normal experience. In contrast, small or hidden miracles are those quiet moments of wonder that human beings might mistake for everyday occurrences. Nachmanides teaches that the purpose of great miracles is to teach us how to appreciate the small and hidden miracles around us. Attuning ourselves to these small miracles of everyday life may help us move forward. But if taking delight in, or even being able to notice, the small hidden miracles is just too much for us at this time, we are reminded that wonder and hope are not an all or nothing proposition. Rabbi Pinchas Pelli points out that Aaron's staff does not immediately produce fruit. First, it sprouts. Then, it blossoms. And ultimately, it bears almonds. The miracle doesn't happen all at once. It develops in stages. The almond branch teaches us that we can experience miracles a little bit at a time. And even if we are not ready for wonder, wonder is ready for us. In this time of spiritual injury and tremendous loss, we may not be ready to move forward. But I pray that we can find the compassion to be patient with ourselves. This can be a sprout of hope as we wander the wilderness of this time, as our ancestors wandered the wilderness of Sinai. It may have felt endless to them, but it wasn't. This delicate dance between loss and hope is brought to life in a prayer by my teacher, Rabbi Sheila Weinberg. She writes, "I am feeling lost. What do I mean by that, you ask? Something is missing. Lost is cousin to loss. Loss, what could it be? What did I lose? Certainty, knowing, control, approval. Letting go, I fall through the atmosphere, no longer holding on or even gripping the rails. What a sweet blessing to be free. And then liberation turns a corner and becomes loss. And down the page from loss is fear and then despair. But you are here with me. Silent witness to all comings and goings, moments and moods. If the room is big enough, the sign says, lost and found, right here. It's okay to feel lost. It's human. And it's okay to feel wonder in the midst of loss. This too is human. And it is also divine. There's a blessing we say upon witnessing a miracle or experiencing wonder. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, chacham ha-razim. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, who watches over our world, who knows all secrets. And to this we say, Amen.